Episode 2.4, Trapped by a Rat. The pack is in the middle of our return hike to St. Joseph's, and something feels off. There are a lot of remaining enemy troops still speckling the countryside, desperate, grasping at the dying regime's ideals, despite their cities falling into Allied hands. Presently, the pack is ducking into a thicket of tall grass to avoid discovery. As we huddle, Jack shows us the map.
Hey, Libby.
Yeah?
What's the word over the radio?
Oh, let me see.
Libby listens closely to the earpiece.
I'm on Nesbitt.
He calls over the radio for our contact at St. Joseph's.
Where's everybody at?
With no response.
Bill's got us into this mess and now he's missing in action?
I'm on Nesbitt.
You're sure he said east?
He refers to the radio conversation with Mills before we left.
Yes, sir.
Libby nods.
I repeat the coordinates. Back them exactly.
Jack thinks about our options.
Fuck.
Wilcox uses his shaving mirror to get a good view above the tall weeds.
Hey. We're not alone here, Sarge.
He points to the woods ahead.
Something's reflecting back at me, over there!
Sarge,
I sound off in a whisper.
I don't have a good feeling about this.
He taps my arm.
Well, you helped us with our last run. You examine this one?
The pounding of my heart distracts my thoughts. I have no choice but to try and find a way out. The pack's life is in my hands. Looking at the map, there's a small part labeled Unknown, with a red circle around it. Compared to my own map, the area has already been cleared by us. I point to the inaccuracy. We cleared this area. Why don't we head here?
Because Mills said...
Jack thinks about it.
Fuck, that son of a bitch sold us a creek!
He snatches the map and looks it over for himself.
It's no wonder he insisted we wander off.
We have to get out of here now!
Wilcox shouts.
They're heading this way!
Trying to keep our heads below the high grass, we crawl through the thicket toward the forest on the other side, dragging and wriggling my body through the muddy ground slowly. I can't imagine we're making much headway. I can hear shouting of enemy troops just above the sound of the breaking stalks of weeds.
Jeez.
A shot rings out. I jump to my feet, running as fast as I can, away from the shots. I reach the forest edge and stop behind a tree to evaluate my situation. The rest of the pack is still cutting across the meadow. They're slightly behind me with a small group of enemy troops hot on their heels. I bring up my rifle and line up my sight. I have to calm my nerves enough to get a clean shot. A close shot rings out.
Jesus!
I take a breath and pull the trigger.
Got it.
Bullseye. I hit my target in the head. Two more precise shots. I take out the last of the enemies in sight. Digging deep within me, it was surprisingly easy. I'm beginning to connect with Audie. His spirit takes me by the hand and guides me through the darkness that is war. I scan the woods. Jack, Wilcox, and Libby have disappeared, escaped into safer standing. Shit!
Jesus.
A bullet skins the bark off the tree across the way. The Nazis found me.
Too close. Way too close. Whoa.
Oh god, I need to breathe.
I resume my steadfast sprint through the woods and find the pack. I try to run faster. I trip into my face.
Oh, God! Jesus! God, this hurts!
Something's twisted tightly around my leg. I must have stepped directly into a barbed wire snare. The more I struggle, the more the wire cuts into my skin.
No!
Stay calm, Audie. You can use your Imani to send a distress signal.
I gotta breathe.
I tap the Imani face. Nothing happens.
Shit.
The Imani is dead, and the tree canopy is too dense. Not to mention the rain blocking the sunlight. Bullets fly overhead again, hitting the tree just behind me. The splinters prickle my neck.
Whoa, that was way too close.
That was closer than I'm comfortable with.
Way too close.
I struggle with the wire, slicing my fingertips, tangling in my clothing. I can't hold my shaking hands still. I need to breathe. 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 I manage to release my knife from its sheath. I free my pants and begin the elusive task of untangling the wire from my legs.
Ow! Oh, Jesus!
A bullet hits the ground in front of me, causing the dirt to fling into my eyes. The freeing process needs to move faster. I frantically dig through my shoulder bag to find anything strong enough to help me cut the wire. A pair of wire cutters. How freaking convenient. Oh, okay. It's the perfect tool to begin this tedious task of snipping the tape. Wires! Because those gunshots are getting closer. Footsteps break the sticks on the ground nearby, accompanied with the breath of another body. I look up to see a German soldier approaching me. The soldier yells something in German, but I can't understand him. I assume he said something along the lines of, "Put your hands up," or "Excuse me, can I borrow a cup of sugar?" Yeah, right, sugar. I try not to pay attention. Instead, I continue to cut through the wire. He shouts again, this time, urgently.
I'm a dead rock, remember?
He's a persistent little fucker. I suppose he'll kill me, so I need to get my gun. He shoots again, and misses. How? I'm so freaking close. I mean, not that I'm upset, but he's definitely frustrated that I'm still alive. I, however, am very happy I'm still alive. And now free of this wretched barbed wire.
Yes.
Whew. I pretend to slump over helpless, but slyly reach for my gun. Adrenaline generates euphoric pain relief, giving me the flex I need to push through. As the soldier creeps up on me, I greet him with a bullet. I take the split second for a breather. I almost died again. A sharp pain in my side grabs my attention.
God!
I was shot and didn't even notice amongst the chaos. I rip open my uniform. The wound looks deep.
Fuck!
But luckily not damaging. Nonetheless, blood pours from the flesh. I need to cleanse the wound before I bleed to death. I soak my wound in morphine and iodine swabs.
Shit.
I grab my sewing kit. My hands quiver as I attempt to thread the needle. Once threaded, I begin the skilled process of stitching the thread through my thick skin. With every stitch, my hands become more stable, looping and sewing until the wound is sealed closed. A recognizable voice shouts,
"Jack."
Jack meanders through the trees in the distance, searching for me. I'm too busy concentrating to respond. Boot stomp in my direction.
Doc!
I finish stitching.
Here, Jack!
My voice is muffled from the pain.
Over here. Doc!
Jack grabs my coat.
Fuck, you've been shot.
I'll be fine, I just sewed it up. Ugh.
I can't do this war shit anymore. I need to attempt another distress signal to Ben. My legs are sliced from the wire and my side bombards me with pain when I move. I need to leave before I truly die. I look around and notice the sunlight is starting to come out. I need to find a place to behold.
Oh, yeah.
Only a few feet away, a spill of sunlight leaks through a hole in the canopy.
Ooh, I want to go there.
I try to drag my feet toward it. Jack follows me.
Here, let me help you.
He puts his arm around me to walk in the wrong direction for the sun.
No!
But the right direction for the pack.
I'll help you.
No!
I elbow him.
Go away! I'm dead already!
I turn to continue toward the light.
Damn it, Doc! Let me help you!
Jack's muscular grip is almost impossible to break free from.
Fine, Jack!
I make my way to the sunny spot and drop to the ground in the oasis.
Ooh.
The beaming sun burns my shaded eyes as I thrust my arm into the air and point my wrist to the sky. Jack hovers over me, blocking the sun.
At least you can let me look at your wounds.
No! Jack, go! I've called for help. He'll be here soon. Now go.
The pain echoes through my body.
Now scram, Jack. I'm trying to get a tan.
I point upward toward the sun.
I am help.
He pauses, as if he just realized I've been calling him Jack instead of Sarge.
Did you call me Jack? Why do you keep doing that?
I'm dead weight. Go. The boys need you.
I beg him.
I'll cover you as you catch up to the pack.
Another shot of pain jolts through my nerves.
I'll see you at home, Sarge.
I smile.
Who are you?
He stares a moment. He knows what I mean.
Okay.
And he returns my smile.
I guess I'll see you at home. I'll go back to wherever the hell you came from, Doc.
He winks.
Yeah.
And jogs away. My heart aches as I watch him vanish into the woods. I'll miss him, but I have to go. I raise the Amani again to the sun. It vibrates.
Come on, Ben. Come on. Read the beacon.
With the sound of static in the air, more footsteps creep toward me.
You're a hard person to locate, Abby.
Ben leans over me.
Audie. I leave you for 5 minutes and you disappear. What happened to Abby?
Oh, but she was killed. Burned. I've also been shot. I sutured it up, but it's deeper than I thought.
Bam. You require a babysitter.
Fuck off, Ben. Oh, God, just let me die.
No deal. Abby was never meant to live in the past. If Abby lives and dies in the same year as Audie, her energy will absorb into Audie. Sounds like her shell has been burned, so she's gone. You should have used the Imani.
Why would you send me here to die?
You weren't supposed to die! You were just supposed to fix your mistake!
Wait, my mistake?
He ignores me.
That's pretty bad.
And evaluates my wound.
Don't you have something to heal wounds with on your high-tech planet?
He brings out a long, shiny metal tube with a laser on the end.
Well, yes, but I require patience, sir. I don't know if I can heal a wound this big. Let's see here.
He uses the device on my wounds. Okay, so let's pause a second. I'm stuck in Audie's shell. I'm a man now. Whatever happened to Abby's shell? What, she was burned and so she's gone now? I can't have her shell back? So if I die, I'm dead? That's what it's beginning to sound like. Now that I'm alive, I guess there's no going home. Not that there would be much of a home to go to, but I can't occupy this shell. Audie already does. I can hear him thinking, he's here. I'm just the more dominant one, for some reason. Eventually, he'll want it back, I assume. Lovely. I wonder what the Great Ben has next on the agenda. Stopping the Titanic from sinking? I can't wait to look for Sun at the bottom of the ocean. It's okay. Something tells me I'm in for a fun surprise.
Come on, please. Just let me die.
The procedure is quick. It both burns and tickles at the same time, like my nerves are waking up from a long sleep. Ben finishes his work.
Ta-da!
Like magic, I'm completely healed.
She's gonna be pissed.
He programs his Imani.
I can't believe Abby's dead.
I flash a dirty look.
I thought for sure you would be able to escape.
Yeah, you left me to die.
Well, my apologies. I thought you knew what you were doing. You were supposed to use the Imani. Like this.